Last Lord's Day, we were in 1 Kings chapter 13 looking at several lessons, and we want to continue our study today, but let's review from last week. As we noted, King Jeroboam was an evil king. He had established a false system of religion. He continued leading the northern 10 tribes further and further away from God. And so God sent a prophet, a man of God, with a warning to King Jeroboam. So in verses 1 and 2, the lesson, behold the goodness and the severity of God. If you don't heed the warning, there's going to be consequences. Of course, you have an opportunity to repent. So both the goodness and the severity of God is seen. And then in verses 3 through 6, we noted the lesson, the word of God is confirmed. The man of God gave Jeroboam 3 signs to confirm God's revelation. Despite having received God's revelation with 3 signs, unfortunately, King Jeroboam chose his way rather than God's way. And then verses 7 through 10, the lesson we noted, buy the truth and sell it not. Of course, Proverbs 23:23 tells us just that. As we noted, the young prophet took a lot of courage to go before King Jeroboam. He refused the king's invitation to go home and be refreshed, to go to the king's home, that is, and get a reward. But the young prophet, the man of God, was told by God, do not eat or drink in Bethel. And so he stood his ground. And unfortunately, as we study further today, he's not going to stay where he needed to be. So we'll want to continue our study now, picking back up with verse 11, and we'll begin that continued study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. Hopefully we're all doing just that. And certainly we want to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville as we're, what, studying God's precious word in our Bible classes. And also as we gather in the worship service, we're striving to do so, worship God in spirit with a proper attitude, but also in truth according to the New Testament pattern. You would be very much welcome to join in with us as we still practice safe measures. And certainly we're looking forward to getting out of this pandemic. I was thankful to get my first vaccine yesterday, as this is Tuesday I'm recording, at the VA hospital. And looking forward to getting the second one in about a month. So hopefully we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel here. But we do appreciate the opportunity that we have to pray for all those who are still in harm's way. We need to pray for those who are affected by the storms in Texas and other places, of course, as well. But something else we want to mention, we're always glad to answer your Bible questions. Certainly we're ready to study the Bible with anyone and look forward to those opportunities. And of course, your comments, they're appreciated, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. So as I'm recording this, our website is undergoing maintenance. Now, it may be up and running by the time this is aired on Sunday. We hope so, but I wanted to mention that in case you're not able to get the radio sermons, that's what is taking place. So let me give you our website address again. It's www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now let's get back to our study of 1 Kings chapter 13. We're picking back up with verse 11. Now, there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. So we realize from last week, as we ended with verse 10, the man of God, he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel, obeying God's instructions. And so we pick back up now with verse 11 and following. And so the older prophet that's there in Bethel is getting the report from his sons about what took place with the younger prophet going before King Jeroboam. Now verse 12. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. He stood his ground again. Unfortunately, we have to go on in our study. Now notice, for it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He understood exactly what God had said. He's even stating it right there in verse 17. Now, verse 18. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Did we notice that? The older prophet is lying to the younger prophet. So sad to say, we go to verse 19. He went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. In other words, he disobeyed God. Even though the old prophet said that an angel of the Lord spake to him, that's not good enough, is it? And of course, it was a lie. But when the Lord gave you the commandment, it would be the Lord who would have to rescind it. And that didn't take place, as we're all aware in our text here today. So instead of leaving the area of Bethel as soon as possible, the young prophet did what? Sat down under an oak tree. Well, some might say, well, he was tired and he had a right to rest before going back home. But why not rest after getting out of Bethel? Why had the Lord commanded that he must go a different way than he came? Well, we don't see that revealed in the scriptures, why the Lord gave that commandment, but is it not obvious that Bethel was a wicked place? It's full of wickedness. Get out of there. So once the man of God had spoken God's word to Jeroboam, he had no reason to hang around temptation. Had he left Bethel immediately, the old prophet may not have caught up with him at all, or not until he was so far on his way, he wasn't going to turn back. And of course, the young prophet was wrong to accept the old prophet's invitation regardless of his location. We certainly want to add that. But here's a point to make. How many faithful elders, gospel preachers, and deacons in the Lord's church have fallen because they allowed themselves to be in compromising situations? Now, of course, this applies to all members of the church, but it's especially harmful when in the leadership of the church and gospel preachers who are preaching God's word, but not living it. it hurts the cause of Christ, doesn't it? And so that is something to mention here. Yes, it has happened. And it's because of staying around temptation. You see, the point in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. When you see it lurking around the corner, get away from it. All of us. So the young prophet, he was given a command from God, and when the old prophet gave a different invitation, the truth did not change. This is our lesson from verses 11 through 22. So let's continue on in verse 19. Verse 20. Pick back up with verse 20. He's now gone back with the old prophet. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulcher of thy fathers. You're not going to be able to be buried where your fathers are. That's what God said to him. You're going to be punished with the death penalty. Notice, and we'll continue that, Lord willing, next week, the rest of the chapter here. But again, the lesson here, and we want to spend some time on this because it's so vitally important. The truth never changes. And going on today, what do we find? We find progressive revelation being pushed. Well, this is unfortunately a widely held view. Now, this name, progressive revelation, is maybe a new name, but it's an old false philosophy. And I want to express this now as best I can, so we'll understand what is being advocated. These progressive folks that say, you know, revelation is progressive, well, what they're actually saying is that the truth can change depending on the various circumstances and all the different cultures throughout the world. In other words, what's true for you may not be true for me, and vice versa. And you know where that leads. So this is but a new robe on an old false philosophy. And in other words, they're stating that the truth is subjective and relative. And this is implying that one cannot really know the truth. Let's get down to the bottom line. This is what they're actually implying. One cannot really know the truth since it becomes a matter of opinion. Now let's go to John chapter 18, and you'll see that this is nothing new, this false philosophy, as we'll see it with Pilate, the governor, and of whom Jesus stood before he went to the cross. And as you go to verse 35 of John 18, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be deceived to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Is the kingdom physical or spiritual? We better all say spiritual. And so those that advocate that the Lord is going to come again and establish a physical kingdom are not paying attention to what the Lord said. The Lord said, my kingdom is not of this world. Let's stay with the truth. Let's stay with the Word of God because it does not change. We better understand that. But let's go on. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Are we hearing the voice of Christ through the Word? Through the Word of God? We better be. Well, this is the point we're wanting to see, though. Verse 38. What was Pilate's reaction to what Jesus had just said? That I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is the truth? Did he wait around to hear the answer? No. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But yet he allowed him to be crucified. So that tells us what kind of man Pilate was, but that's another lesson. But what I wanted us to see is this is the old philosophy, the old false philosophy. What is truth? In other words, there's no answer to it. It's whatever you want it to be, a matter of opinion. But we need to understand that truth is absolute, objective, and does not change. As our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, said to those disciples that believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. Do we believe the Lord, or do we believe these progressives, those that want to advocate false philosophy? Notice Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. Now, that's what we need to hold on to. God is a God of truth. Psalm 31, verse 5. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. In fact, in John 1, verse 14, we find in the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, left heaven. The Word became flesh, the second person of the Godhead, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Christ, and he is the truth. So truth is absolute, objective. It's not changed by conclusions falsely drawn, nor is it determined by emotion. In fact, as you go to 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth? And if we don't come unto the knowledge of the truth, we cannot be saved. That's the fact of the matter. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's understanding that we're under the law of Christ. We're not going to go to the Old Testament to see what to do to be saved and how the church is to be organized, how we're to worship God. No, we study from the Old Testament. We learn many lessons from the Old Testament. That's what we're doing today. But we understand we're under the law of Christ. And we're going to go to the New Testament for the examples of conversion and how the worship service is to be conducted and the organization of the church and the work of the church and all those things. So let's understand that there are those who are advocating, and they make a statement something like this. They say, I know that we cannot know anything for certain. Now think about that. That's a contradiction, isn't it? Well, they could say, I know for sure. I know this, what I'm fixing to say, I know it for sure. That you can't really know anything for sure. Isn't that ridiculous? Now, who wants to listen to people like this? It's unfortunate so many people don't seem to be able to put two and two together and come out with four. If a man says he doesn't know anything for sure, why do I need to listen to such a man? And of course, he contradicted himself because he said he knows something, that he doesn't know anything. It's just ridiculous, isn't it? And we all know that's what it is. So let's don't be like 2 Timothy 3:7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We must not be like that. We must not be like Pilate. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. We've got to love the truth, want to learn the truth, because if we do not, what happens? Well, you see, without truth, we would be without answers to life's most important questions. We would be without a moral compass to guide us in this life. And we know, of course, grace and knowledge are through our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge of how to live the best life possible, we're not going to know that without the truth. And the knowledge of how to prepare for eternity without the truth, we're not going to be prepared, is the point. So let's be sure we understand that truth never changes. It's absolute, and it's objective, and it's the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus prayed in John 17:17. And the Word of God is not going to pass away. The word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. 1 Peter 1:25. Peter quoted Isaiah 48, didn't he? So have we learned this great lesson? The truth never changes, and we must obey the truth. First, we have to come into the knowledge of the truth and certainly obey it. But something else I wanted to mention before we conclude our study this morning, and that's this. Partial obedience is disobedience. The young prophet obeyed God's command by refusing King Jeroboam's invitation, but he disobeyed God's command by accepting the old prophet's invitation. Why, we might ask, did the old prophet lie to the young prophet? Well, the scriptures don't reveal that, but I think we could analyze this situation, and it's probably because he was trying to serve God and the evil king Jeroboam at the same time. And that's not possible, is it? Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. That's not going to work. He failed as a prophet of God. And if you and I, if we do not love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, then we're trying to serve two masters. Matthew 22:37. Is that not true? Well, it is, if we think about it. Now, I need to mention this because, some of us are getting on up in age. Well, just because we're old in the faith, that does not mean that we cannot go astray. I know of several gospel preachers who served faithfully in the church for many years before they began teaching false doctrine. I don't want to be like that. So I've got to be on guard. I've got to realize that I'm not assured of being solid without keeping my mind where it needs to be, studying to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I need to continually strive to live faithfully, even if it means my death. That's what we've got to do, isn't it? Because we can fall away. The scriptures are filled with warnings. Take heed, lest they fall. And an obvious lesson for us all is this: the word of God shall stand forever. God's promises are sure, 2 Peter 3:8 through 11. Yes. So we need to ask, what is our attitude toward the truth? Toward truth itself. If we do not really love the truth, how can we say that we love the Lord? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14:15. So no matter what may befall us, poor health, poverty, disappointments with our brethren, even the deaths of our closest family members and loved ones, let us never, never, never compromise the truth. Stay firm, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that our labor is not going to be in vain, as 1 Corinthians 15:58 tells us. So let's learn this valuable lesson. The truth never changes, and it's the word of God. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. That's right. Let's be sure that we stay with God's word. And this morning, if you have never obeyed the gospel, we stand ready to assist you as you have to hear the truth. Romans 10:17. This is how our faith comes. We've got to learn the truth. Once we learn about Jesus dying for our sins, he's the only begotten Son of God, our Lord and Savior, then we certainly should believe that. Yes, and that motivates us once we believe that, John 8:24. Now we're ready to repent. We're going to make a change of wills. We're going to do the will of God. We're going away from a sinful life to live in righteousness as we add the Christian graces and grow in our knowledge and the grace of our Lord and Savior. So we repent and go in a different direction, Luke 13:3-5. Now the next step is making the good confession. That's simply stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Now that's made unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. The next step, here's what puts us into contact with the precious blood of Christ. We're buried as Jesus was on the cross and shedding his precious blood in his death. We're buried into his death. Yes, and contacting his blood, his blood under the water in a symbolic way. And as we're coming up out of the watery grave of baptism, we're walking in newness of life, and the Lord adds us to his body, the true church. And that's where we need to live faithfully, even unto death. And we thank you so much for listening today.